And look what it has to speak to us today. And we thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus. Lord, you know that good and evil just kind of has a way of confronting us in this life as we go through it. That we confront it almost just on a daily basis. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, for finishing the work, overcoming evil, overcoming the world, and providing a way for us that we can lay a battle down because you've already won it. You've accomplished it. And we pray right now, Father, that your righteousness, your kingdom would come right now. Be here in our midst, Holy Spirit. Manifest yourself in ways that bring honor and glory to you and you alone. We look for your healing. We look for your righteousness. We hunger for the peace of God in all our life. And I do ask for that mighty manifestation on each person here today, Lord, that your gifting would be upon them, that the word of God would have free course in their hearts, that your anointing would be upon each person here, that they would hear from you, Lord Jesus, from you and you alone. Lord, I ask that I would just be a vessel through which you might speak, through which Holy Spirit might flow and touch the lives of all who hear this, whether they hear it here in person or they hear it online. Bless them, Lord, with the word of God, with the bread of life that brings life and life eternal and joy eternal and strength through that. And we tell you, even when you have no part here today, leave in Jesus' name. I stand against it in the name of Jesus. Any spirit that would try to bring judgment or unbelief or a lack of trust, be gone in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, come. Do your good pleasure in Jesus' name. Amen. The message I have today, I've named it Persistence. Persistence. Hebrews, the 5th chapter, verse 7. Jesus prayed persistently. Listen to what it says. Who, in the latter days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. The Son of Man, the Son of God, lifted up prayers, cries vehemently and prayers to the Father. You see, he had a key. He had godly fear. Godly fear. He had an awe. He had a respect for the Father. You see, he knew the character of God. And so he had a respect and an awe that is just beyond our understanding. And we have to ask Holy Spirit to help us see and gain and have this, because it will help us to be persistent in our pursuit of what Holy Spirit wants for us. Have you ever been around a persistent child? Something else, isn't it? They won't be deterred if they get something in their mind. They will just keep going after it. Does anybody know the story of the robot that compresses trash, and he's fallen in love with a sleek little robot named Evie, and he chases her all over the universe? Do you know the story? It's called WALL-E, Disney. It's really a love story, a persistent love story is what it is, but it's made up like it's trying to make us fear trash going to cover the earth, you know. Well, I don't believe that at all. I have respect for the earth. But it's really a story about that. But here's the thing. I have some grandkids, and we have lots of children's movies, lots of them. And when they come over, I use my best skills to try and convince them of some of these other movies. And Wally gets put on again, you know. And so we watch, I don't know how many times it's played at our house, over and over. Maybe that's it. You know, I always confessed, I said, my house for my grandchildren is going to be the house of yes. You want candy? Yes. You want, you know, a toy? Yes, you can have that. I have learned for my own personal safety that no, you can't play soccer in the living room. No, you can't have a water gun fight in the house. You know, there are just some, and honest to goodness, I've also learned, if they're going to get a nap in the afternoon, you got to limit the candy in the morning. just the way it is. Children can be amazingly persistent. They can just really bear down on it. Do you think that's a gift from God? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a gift from God. It can go either way. Persistence. Listen to this in Ezekiel 14:13. This is the wrong way. Son of man, when a land sins against me by persistent unfaithfulness, I will stretch out my hand against it. I will cut off its supply of bread, send famine upon it, and cut off man and beast from it. Persistent unfaithfulness can bring the hand of God against us. Amazing, huh? Persistence, the firm or obstinate continuance in a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. Say that again. The firm or obstinate continuance in a course of action. Wait, does that describe a kid or what? Describes us. The firm or obstinate continuation in a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. The continued or prolonged existence of something. Is there anything worse than a persistent cold? A summer cold that just hangs on, drives you nuts. Or how about persistent pain? Oh my goodness. Go to the medical aisle there at Walmart and look on the shelf. There's every kind of pain reliever imaginable. There's liquid ones, there's pills, there's wraps for your arms, your head, your arms, your legs, your chest. There's gels you can rub in. I mean, you know, every kind of pain reliever that imaginable is there. Persistent pain is terrible. It's just terrible. Well, Jesus spoke about how to use persistence, this gift, in the way he intended it. Are you good at being persistent about something you want? I don't know. Jesus used parables, didn't he? A lot. And parables in the Bible, most of the parables that he spoke, I believe, were actual events that happened. They were real stories, nonfiction. And he would go around, and what he would do, he would use a parable, which is just a story about something that happens in the natural, and he would compare it to the kingdom of God to reveal what the kingdom of God was like. So he said, it's like this. And that's what he's doing here. I think Jesus saw the kingdom of heaven everywhere he looked on earth. We're going to look at Luke 18, first two verses start with, New King James Version. Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Being an agnostic or an atheist is so against the nature of man. It really is. It is in the heart of man to pray, and to recognize that there's something greater than himself. Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, verses 10 and 11, New Living Translation says, I have seen the burden that God has placed on us all. Yet God has made everything beautiful in its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. It's in our heart. It's in our very core of our being, eternity, that there is a God. And it goes against the very core of who we are to not believe and pray. In fact, it takes great hubris to not do it. It just does. I have always believed this, that I don't care what you call yourself. A lot of people calling themselves different things today. But when the ground shakes violently, everybody looks up. There just aren't any who will stand around and say something different, because they feel they're about to enter what's in next. You see, atheists are made, not born. Atheists are made. You see, man wants to be at the top. He wants to be in charge. He wants to think he's that smart. So coming together to pray or praying on our own is normal. It's a very natural thing for us to do. Avoiding prayer and fighting it kind of goes against who we are, and it comes from the fall. You know the fall, or in the garden where the devil had his way. Who knows? The devil doesn't pray. He doesn't pray. And he certainly doesn't fear our prayerlessness. Do you ever think about that? He doesn't fear that. In fact, I believe he laughs and scorns us when we take great effort, human effort and wisdom, to try and fight our battles. I kind of consider it like a guy who goes hunting and he keeps shooting at the shadow of the animal he's trying to hit. He's never going to hit it because the shadow is always on the backside from the sun, and he'll never hit it. Well, see, that's it. When we fight our battles and we try and fight them in the natural, we're always trying to hit the wrong thing, because we live also in the spiritual. And believe it or not, the spiritual is in charge of the natural. And if Jesus fought all his battles in the spiritual. He spoke to them. And that's how he always won. And we are to be like our Savior, aren't we? We're to be like him. Fight all our battles in the spirit. The entire purpose of this parable we're going to read is that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. It's not only good advice, it's imperative if we plan to survive in the environment we're all in today. Jesus said, there was in a certain city, a judge who did not fear God or regard man. Now, this is a judge that was probably, well, it was a Roman judge he was speaking of. Because the Jewish people of that day, if they had a matter they needed to resolve, they didn't go to a Roman judge. They went to the ruling, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they would get a ruling from them. And they weren't sitting there as a judge. No, this parable is about a Roman judge. Now, you have to know some things about a Roman judge to understand what he's talking about. A Roman judge, back before like 500 BC, they didn't even have laws. And Roman judges were absolute authorities. So if you came with a matter to a Roman judge back in those days, whatever they said went. And they could rule death just as easy as a small financial reward in any situation. So this was what the Roman rulers, now they had laws when Jesus was talking about this, but the Roman judges still ruled with absolute authority, with no recompense anywhere. Now, our laws are, and our government is similar, but we have other rules written in. You know one of the other things that are known about Roman judges? Almost 100% of them were absolutely corrupt, and they could be bought off. Amazing thing. So this is the background that everybody who heard this parable understood about this judge when he said he lived in a certain city and he didn't fear God. He was probably an atheist and he had no regard for man. And we're going to look at that a little more. Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 3 through 5. New Living Translation says, a widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. Don't say anything, men. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests. What did he call her? He called her a woman. He had no respect because she was a widow. Didn't bother him a bit. Fact is, he called her a woman. Why? Romans had even less respect for women than they did men. So in his mind, when he talked about a woman, he just said, it's a woman, you know. No offense here. Christianity brought women to where they ought to be. Man, we're all made equal. Christianity brought things the way they should be. This woman's driving me crazy. Listen to what Exodus, the 22nd chapter, 22 through 24, says about widow. You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If you afflict them in any way and they cry at all to me, I will surely hear their cry. And my wrath will become hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows and your children fatherless. Does it matter if we know this or not? It doesn't. It doesn't. You know, my mom, she was a widow very early. I was 12, 13 years old, 64, so I was 13 years old when Dad passed. And I watched as she was a widow with five children. And I was the middle child. I was 4 years younger than the oldest. And I was 7 years older than the younger ones. So there was a big spread. Dad had a big family, passed when he was 41. But we moved here to Missouri, and I watched, this was back in the 60s, as she went through life, that people really did try to help her. They really did. If she had a problem, she had favor. She had favor, because in that day, people believed that, and they tried to help widows, and they tried to help my mom at every turn. And God just saw that she had favor everywhere she went. But here's this judge, who's the ones in danger of being judged here? The judge is the one who's on the edge if he's not careful with what he does. It's an amazing, that's how I see it. It's not by accident that Jesus chose a parable with a widow in it. It adds the Lord's prompting into this message as he speaks. You know, it's here that many can really miss the whole point of this parable. Because what we want to do here is we want to attribute God to the judge, right? Because the parable is men ought to pray and not lose heart. And so we want to say the kingdom of God and this the judge, but this judge is nothing like the kingdom of heaven. This judge is nothing like God. In fact, he is just the opposite of the kingdom of heaven. This is a parable of what it's like to work in the kingdom of heaven to get justice, or what it's like to work in under man's law to try and get justice. Luke, the 18th chapter, we're going to read 6 through 8, New Living Translation. Then the Lord said, Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, will he find on the earth any who have faith? Why was that added to the parable? It's the key to answered prayer. Will he find any faith? Will anybody be left who believes that God will render justice to them, that they will pray persistently to receive what they need? Will he find this on the earth when he comes back? He's trying to give a key. It all brings it back to the purpose and lesson, not losing heart, but having faith in our God who will answer and answer quickly. Back to verse 1, 18:1. Then he spoke a parable to them that men ought to always pray and not lose heart. Persistence, the firm or obstinate continuance in a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. That's persistence. I have a companion story with this that I want to share. And it's coming out of Luke, the 11th chapter. We're going to start in verse 5. I'll be reading the New Living Translation again. It's right after the model prayer. Jesus gave the model prayer. You remember? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. So this teaching comes right after that. And unlike most parables, this is a story that's fiction. Jesus actually uses one that's not a parable. Luke 11, verse 5. Then, teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, "A friend of mine has just arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat." And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, "Don't bother me. The door's locked for the night, and my family and I are all in bed. I can't help you." But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake. If you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. The disciples were hungry for the ability to receive answers to prayer. They said, "Teach us to pray." And he gave them the model prayer. And then he gave them this story right in there with it. You see, they saw how people were getting healed. Everywhere Jesus went, they were getting healed of every malady there was. It didn't matter what it was, they were getting healed. They saw evil spirits flee, jump and run at his word. They saw this. And they saw the dead raised to life. And they saw every kind of miracle imaginable. Yeah, they knew no one had ever walked in this kind of authority before. No one had ever had answered prayer like this before. And so they said, "Teach us to pray. Show us how to do what you do, that we may do it too." They, like us, they were just like us, had prayed many prayers that seemed to go unanswered. We did that. We do that. Something seems off, doesn't it? Something seems not quite right. Something. And Jesus knew what they wanted. He knew what they were asking. He knew. Guys, this is not just an offhand teaching that he's giving here. This is not just thrown in the Bible as, "Oh, and he also said this." This is a very important teaching for all of us. He tried to teach the disciples, but it was for us also. And it's so hard to understand because this teaching, this story, is so abstract for us. My goodness, we live in such abundance. Who doesn't have a refrigerator here? Or maybe even a small freezer or a big freezer. Or you have canned goods. Or you have dry goods. We don't go to the market daily for food. We don't have to. We have such an abundance today. So it's so hard for us to understand why a man would need to go to a neighbor to get three loaves of bread for one night to feed a visitor that happened to come by for the day. Just, it doesn't register with us. It's abstract. Not only that, he said, I'm in bed. I can't get up. What? But you see, their homes were basically two rooms. You had the lower room, living room, and then you had the upper bedroom. And there was one bed. And the whole family would be in the one bed. So the kids and the wife, everybody was in this same bed. He came at midnight. And if he had young kids, have you ever gotten your kids up at midnight? It's going to be a long night. And the door doesn't open easy then. If you get it locked and barred, you know, you're going to make a lot of noise. You're going to have to turn on lights. It's pitch black because they don't have night lights like we do. This was a difficult request. This wasn't an easy request. Jesus was pointing out, he comes and he's asked something very, very difficult. And then he said something that's just really amazing in the scripture. He said, but I tell you this, though he won't do it for what? Friendship's sake. Friendship wasn't enough. It was shameless persistence. Are you a friend of God? Yeah. Everybody, yeah, yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm a friend of God. One more time. Yes, I am. I am a friend of God. Yes. Yeah. Do you have a relationship with God? Yes. Yes, you do. Does this guarantee answers to prayer? Well, yes and no, right? We've all eaten at this table. I'm not talking to people who aren't unused to this. Let me ask this question. Do you believe Jesus wants to answer your prayers? Ask him one more time. Do you believe Jesus wants to answer your prayers? Jesus gave this teaching to the disciples, but it was for us also, so that we can know the truth about prayer. The truth. Friendship isn't always enough. Asking at a door one time isn't always enough. He loves us. His heart and mind is always for our best. He has our best in mind. I want to tell you something. Smile at me now. We don't. We don't always have our best in our mind, in our heart when we ask. Luke 11, verses 9 to 10, New Living Translation. Jesus makes a declaration and he drives it home. He says, and so I tell you, keep on asking. You will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open for you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be open to them. Do you believe this? Do you believe this in your heart? Takes faith. You know, it's just always truth. The grace of God is abundant. Our favor with him is just abundant. Pat Bryson calls it, he's super abundant in grace. He is. He not only said our prayers would be answers, he said whatever we're seeking for, we'll get it. Yeah. And he said the door, year of the door. Everybody knows what a door means, right? It's access. Access. But what's it access to for us? It's access to the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. What's in the kingdom, guys? What's in the kingdom? Jesus so knew God's character, and he knew what to speak about and what to talk about, and he's trying to help everyone, all of us, get answered prayer. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open. Zechariah 4:6. Zechariah has something. He says, "So he answered and said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" Jesus finished his teaching here in Luke 11 with this. "If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone?" He just won't. There's not a father in here that if their son asked for something good, that the dad would give him something bad. Just not going to happen. "Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Another key to the kingdom of heaven and answers to prayer: more Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit-led prayer. Going to take a little more time. Going to take and look at one more thought about unanswered prayer. Excuse me. Unanswered prayer. Unanswered prayer. Frustrating, isn't it? Ask, don't receive. Yep. We get frustrated. Do you believe Holy Spirit could change your prayer life? Yeah. I believe he could. He can change our prayer life. Don't get frustrated, guys. Don't get frustrated. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Get 10 times more persistent than that little kid. James said this. Good old James. Everybody knows this epistle. "You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." Here's what I believe, guys. I believe every one of us are desperately trying not to allow this into our prayer life. I believe that. I don't think any one of you are at all trying to allow any of this into your prayer life. Neither would Holy Spirit. But yes, I ask, but I believe much prayer is not answered because we're asking improperly. We're not asking right. Does that offend you? I hope not. Don't let it. We all must examine ourselves if we're in the way of God or not. We do. Our first time that you go into prayer and you ask or you declare, I believe this is one of the keys why we need to keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Because we ask improperly. And as we keep asking, Holy Spirit keeps guiding us into better and better, more and more truth that we can ask properly. Do we say it this way? Do we try to tell him how we want it done? You know, I've got this pain in my foot, and I want you to go down there and straighten those bones out so they heal. Well, maybe he wants to give you a new foot. You know, we don't know. We don't know. I'm not saying it's wrong, but we can't, you know, You know what I'm saying? Telling him how it should be done. Or do we do it because it's our desire? You know, I really want this Jesus. Remember, he has our best in his heart and mind for us. Is it our, you know, he knows our needs. He really does. Or do we do it because it's just what we want? You know, Jesus, I just want this, you know. Or maybe, well, you know, they ask and it's what they want, so I'm going to pray for it. I want to share something with you here this morning about a man named George Mueller. Do any of you know George Mueller? Heard about him? George Mueller lived from like 1805 to 1895, something like that. And George Mueller prayed in the finances and keeping for over 10,000 orphans. Right. The man never had a dime to himself. And way over 100 schools he ran. And he prayed in all the resources for these schools and for these orphanages. Can you imagine that? You know? And it was back in the 1800s. You know, we can go do a GoFundMe page today. He had no access to anything like that. And the man wrote a series on how to receive answers to prayer. And I just want to share one key with you today because it absolutely fits with what we've just talked about this morning. And here's his quote. Here's what he said. We have to get our heart to where we have no room or no will. I'm sorry. We have to get our heart to where we have no will in the outcome of the matter. We have to get our heart where we have, now we're talking something difficult, aren't we? We have to get our heart to where we have no will in the outcome of the matter. You see, that's just what Jesus taught. It's just what he said. Your kingdom come, your will be done. That's how he taught us to pray. Holy Spirit, pray. That's why it's so important for us to come to a point in our life where we really believe he wants us well. That we really believe that it's God's will that we prosper, that our relationships become well, that we become, that he's fighting our battles. He's already overcome them. It's really so true. And he's saying, ask, seek, knock. And God will answer. Do you believe that? Let's pray. Father, I am just amazed at your word. We find out secrets of how men accomplish so much for your glory. And then we find out, oh, it's in your word. It's what you said from the beginning. Help us, Father. Help us. Open our hearts. Open our eyes. Open our minds that we can receive what Holy Spirit says. We ask for more of Holy Spirit today. More wisdom. More understanding. That our prayer life would become vibrant and alive and full of answered prayer. That when we seek you, when we ask according to your will. When we seek according to your will. When we knock on the door, we're knocking on the door of heaven because you've led us to that door and we're to have a breakthrough, Father, a revelation in God. Father, I pray that for every soul here today that we can get a hold of what your word says and get it into our heart and not let it go. I ask that you'd bless every person here today, that you'd guard their steps, guide their steps, that every step they take would bless you and further the kingdom of God. We thank you, Lord, for speaking today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.